1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. And I guess I'm drawn to this particular text tonight because of just concern. I remember several years ago sitting in the front pew of a congregation where I was being installed as a pastor and thinking to myself, well, maybe the Lord will make a pastor out of me yet. I remember reflecting on that several months later and thinking, no, he hasn't. as I approach this subject tonight, I guess I've come to it with that same thought, just of concern and of pastoral concern for you as God's people. And the text is interesting, I think. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Here's an amazing admission of the Apostle Paul. Burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. The burdens of life sometimes are great, aren't they? And the stress is great. I've wanted to talk about stress management, but I really haven't done an adequate study on the subject from Scripture. So I guess I'll make a feeble attempt tonight. My concern is that we are burdened in many ways. And the stresses which are upon us in many ways are great. And as we look at one another at various times and various junctures, we see the effects of those burdens and the effects of that stress. And it's amazing, isn't it, that Paul, the great apostle, makes this admission. Burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Have you ever thought about the great apostle Paul in those terms? Burdened excessively beyond strength, despairing even of life. It was hard for me to even imagine that that was true of the great Apostle Paul, but here he says it. And if there was ever an individual who understood the stress that people like you and me are sometimes under, here was a man who understood. And so that's what we look at a little bit. This burden. Stress. Have you ever experienced any of that? I have. I don't claim to be an expert in the field, but I know I've experienced some of it. And so we look at what Paul says here, as he experienced some of this stress, a burden so excessive, which was beyond his strength, that he despaired even of life itself. Well, what was some of this stress? What was this burden? The very same word is used in the Gospel according to Luke by the Lord Jesus in Luke 21 and verse 31. In Luke 21, verse 31. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians in just a little bit. But here's what we have in Luke 21, 34, I'm sorry. He says, "Be on your guard that your hearts may not be weighed down," that is, burdened, with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Jesus is talking about the same thing that Paul speaks of. And I think it's interesting how he puts it. Be on guard that your hearts not be burdened or weighed down with the worries of life. That's exactly it, isn't it? What does the heart involve? Again, the heart involves our minds, our emotions, and our wills. The heart here is primarily not physical. We're not talking about physical strength here and burdens placed upon us physically. We're talking here about burdens placed upon our hearts, which involve our minds, our thinking, and our emotions, our feelings, and our wills. That's the areas. Burdens placed on our thinking and our emotions, which are too great for us to bear. Does that sound a little familiar? I think it does. It does for me, I know. And what are the sources of these burdens? Well, Jesus gives three of them, dissipation and drunkenness, and we don't even want to talk about that tonight because that's not an issue, I don't think. The third is an issue. The worries of life. I've got to get it done. I've got to get it done. I've got to get it done. As I've told individuals more than once, God placed 24 hours in a day. And if we attempt to do more than will fit in a 24-hour day, we're not in God's will. And there's no sense of us worrying about whether or not we're going to cram more into that day. That's one way we can manage the situation. But we're not very good at that, it seems. And I'll confess that I haven't been very good at that either. But it's one way we can manage the situation. When we talk about the worries of this life, we talk about sleep, don't we, very often? Losing sleep. Do you know that a loss of sleep can be just as detrimental on our physical bodies and our emotions and our mental capacities as taking drugs? Losing sleep over a period of time. The worries of this life do that sort of thing. And the worries of this life very often tend to attack our emotions. Of course, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? And when this happens and the emotions become frail, we are subject to those emotions being broken as sinful, fallen human beings. I don't know if you've seen individuals who have suffered a nervous breakdown or not, but it's not fun. It happens. It's real. These are the kinds of burdens that we're talking about, and the anxieties with regards to life that bring on these burdens. If you look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, the Lord Jesus talks about this very thing. Jesus in Luke 21:34 says, "Be on your guard that your hearts not be burdened or weighed down with the worries of life, because we'll break under the burden." And He says in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And he goes on, verse 27, "Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing?" In verse 28, verse 34, "Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Don't be anxious, he says. Amazing. It's the same thing Jesus is talking about in Luke 21:34. Don't be weighed down by the anxieties or the worries of life. Don't be weighed down by these things. And you know what happens? I know what happens to me. I impose upon myself a lot of stress. And I do that by imposing upon myself inordinate requirements, trying to stuff into a 24-hour day more than fits into that day. And then when I am anxious about it, I compound the problem. Because one, trying to put more into that day than fits is sin. Let's call it what it is. And then worrying about it when Jesus says don't is also sin. And that compounds the problem. And so what am I doing? I am laying on myself a burden greater than I'm capable of handling. Self-imposed stress. I remember in college, in physics, running tests. And what we had to do is we had to mix cement and sand and gravel together in different proportions and make little cylinders out of that cement and sand and gravel. And when those cylinders were dry, we would put them in a machine which would compress those cylinders. And we would have to measure how much pressure each of those cylinders could withstand. And of course, at a certain point, each of those cylinders would break. They could not handle the pressure. And each one, being different, could handle a different amount of pressure. And that was pressure that we imposed on those little cement cylinders. And it was kind of an interesting experiment if you were into getting into pre-stressed concrete beams and that sort of thing, manufacturing, that sort of thing. Well, here we are as individuals. And what do to ourselves? We pretend like we're blocks of concrete and we put pressure on ourselves. And we test ourselves and bring ourselves slowly up to the breaking point without regard to the standards of Scripture. And the standards of Scripture will say to us, don't do that. Don't bring yourself up to the very breaking point by imposing pressure upon yourself. That's sin. Again, let's call it what it is. Don't do it. Because you will find that when the appropriate amount of pressure is applied, you will break. That's the bottom line. So don't do it. I hope that makes some sense. I really do. You see, what I'm zeroing in on here, is self-imposed pressure. And we're all very good at doing that. Applying self-imposed pressure. And folks, that is what will break us. I know in my own experience in the church, in working on committees, I have been forced in looking at myself to say to others, wait a minute, that's enough. I'm going home now. Because I've reached the point that if I do any more, I'm going to break. And I can't do any more. That's it. And I know it's true in any other form of work. Self-imposed pressure like this will bring us to the breaking point. Now I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. And I want you to notice the difference here. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. What is Paul talking about here? Is the Apostle Paul talking here about pressures which he imposed upon himself? No, I don't think so. He's talking about pressures which he encountered in the course of his life's work and which he did not bring upon himself, but which were imposed upon him as a result of his work and duties. And there's a big difference. A big difference. We were burdened excessively, he says. And notice it's in the passive. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength. Beyond any strength that we had, we were burdened by the situation we were in. And you know that Paul, having been persecuted, having been stoned and left for dead, knew what he was talking about. He was persecuted and burdened excessively beyond his strength to cope with the situation. And he, as a result, did despair of life itself. And why? Why was that the case? Why was this burden not self-imposed, but imposed upon him? Well, it's very simple. Indeed, we had the sentence, verse 9, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Do you know what happens? When we meet burdens that seem excessive to us and we are tested beyond our strength, generally speaking, we rise to the occasion. You know why? Because we say, Lord, I can't do it without you. You've got to do it. And we rise to the occasion. It's quite different, isn't it, when we keep the burdens on ourselves? It's quite different. Because generally speaking, when we impose those burdens on ourselves and we experience self-imposed stress, we don't turn to the Lord in the same way, at least. And there's a dramatic difference in the outcome. When we test ourselves beyond our limits, we're subject to breaking. When God brings the test and the burden, it's quite different. He's got a lesson for us, and the lesson is, Denny, I'm bigger than you are, and I'm going to carry you through this thing. And that's the lesson for each one of us. I want to read you, I guess I'm into reading a little bit tonight. I want to read you from this little book which I just finished. I know at least Harry has read it. It's Faith and Victory in Dachau. And it's about a Dutch pastor who wound up in this concentration camp in the Second World War as a result of preaching a sermon which the German authorities heard. And he wound up in this prison camp. He's just described the beginning of a day in the prison camp, and now he's going on to the second part of the day. He says, "Ahead of us lay 6.5 hours of hard labor under the scorching sun. How were we going to make it through the afternoon? Praying for strength, we forced our bodies on, and soon we were back in the coal car, shoveling coal into large sacks that weighed well over 100 pounds, each when filled. These sacks had to be loaded into a truck, and then 10 or 12 of us had to pull the truck by hand to the coal bins or the officers' quarters. Either trip took almost an hour of superhuman effort." You'll understand why in just a little bit. "We would haul at the heavy trucks like emaciated galley slaves. 4 men would pull from the front and 2 other groups of 4 would pull on ropes attached to the sides of the truck. The foreman or SS man would repeatedly test the ropes for tautness to see whether we were pulling hard enough. A flurry of blows and kicks would mean that we weren't. Back and forth, we hauled the truck. Exhausted, we kept collapsing under the weight of the coal sacks as we loaded the truck. Each time it seemed that it would be impossible for us to lift another sack onto our shoulders. But some young SS guard would beat on our backs and heads until the impossible somehow became possible. Once I had to ask one of the officers' wives whether the coal was to be brought in through the basement window or through the upstairs. The woman was already down in the basement. When I put my head through the basement window to ask her, she let out a piercing scream and fled, for when she looked up and saw me, her face was filled with terror. I hadn't realized how horrible I looked. My face was that of a wandering Jew. I was down to 40 kilograms, 85 pounds, a living skeleton, and the coal dust made me look even more like a fleshless skull come to life. I told myself, 'Careful, stay calm. So what if you look like death itself? By God's grace, you'll make it. One day you'll look back on this and laugh. And for someone in my condition to lose courage meant instant death. Miraculously, we somehow made it through the day. We would be marched double time back to the parade ground, and there further torment would await us. We thronged together, a wretched, bruised mass. Some of us would be carrying dead or dying comrades, for even the dead had to participate in the evening roll call. Otherwise, the numbers wouldn't tally, and that would be much more serious than a mere loss of another life. The evening ceremonies would usually last from an hour to 2.5 hours. Our reward for an interminable day of excruciating labor. We would be endlessly aligned until we stood in perfect rows. The block bookkeepers would count their blocks. Then we would all wait until the Royal Highness, the Commandant, arrived, having taken a leisurely time to review the reports. Often, he would still be finishing his supper or just visiting and making small talk with his staff, while outside thousands of prisoners stood waiting for him, either cursing him in their abysmal misery or praying for mercy to endure. It was indeed time for curses or prayers, and sometimes for both at the same time. On some days, the roll call would be our only opportunity to stand still, eyes closed, and have communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. Blocks 26, 28, and 30 were all united in prayer. My friend and colleague next to me would elbow me and whisper, "It's all clear." This was the signal we would use to join together in singing silently in our hearts an evening song. This is the secret of faith, he says. To be able to thank God for His grace and for His fatherly love in the worst circumstances, even after a day in which you have been deprived of everything necessary for life. You may say, that's absurd, and it is, to those who look for life's secret in external well-being. But to those who know of another spiritual world, the kingdom of God, this secret of thankfulness has been revealed. Didn't Christ say, "I thank thee that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding, wise in their own eyes and living only by mortal sight, and revealed them to babes"? Those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven are convinced that although they may know what is pleasing to them, they do not always know what is good for them. This only their heavenly Father can know. Faith says that everything which happens to us will be turned to our good by our Father and will serve our eternal salvation. In other words, in the kingdom of God, we learn to think differently about what is good for us. We are even able to derive spiritual profit from mistreatment. But at the same time, the villains who cause us such misery and are responsible for their deeds, and justice demands that they be punished. The question is, do we have an eye not just for the brutalities that call for divine retribution, but also for the gracious sovereignty of God that enables His children to experience those brutalities in such a way that it is to their spiritual and eternal profit? You know, here's a guy that wound up weighing 80 pounds, 85 pounds, in a concentration camp. And he says, "God taught me. God taught me in that experience. When I was burdened beyond strength and despaired even of life itself, God taught me. And He gave me strength." That's something. It really is. And what was the lesson? Well, the lesson, if you followed all of that, in verse 9, "Indeed, we have the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Praise the Lord. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You know what these fellows were told when they entered this prison camp? This was a clergyman, a pastor. He was told, "Ascension Day is only a couple of weeks away, and you will celebrate that by ascending up through the chimney in smoke. That's how you'll celebrate it." That's how those people suffered. Burdened beyond strength. And that was not, folks, a self-imposed burden. And it seems to me that the lesson is clear. That when God tests in this way and places a burden upon us so that we know Him better, inevitably, we rise to the occasion. And it's a wonderful thing. And it seems to me that the testimony of this pastor is a wonderful example of that. But just the opposite can easily happen when we press ourselves and place upon ourselves stress which we cannot bear. We're likely to break. And I've seen some pastors that have gone through that. It's not a happy thing. And I hope that I won't see it again. And I hope that I will not see any of you in that situation. And if there's self-imposed stress in your life, back off. Back off. That's the way to handle the situation. And if it's stress which is genuinely imposed by the living God, God will give you the strength to handle it. That's His way. And it will, in the end, be very, very glorious for you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven. Help us to understand your word better in this regard. And grant, Father, that we may, as your people, understand that we are not to impose stress upon ourselves, but that's a sinful pattern of life. But yet, Father, when we meet burdens in this life, imposed not by us, but coming to us by your providence, we know also, Father, that you, in your grace, give the strength to do it. Give us, Father, the grace to be able to distinguish between the two so that we might live for you as we should. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.